This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Just after 8 o'clock Sunday night, the official temperature at General Mitchell International Airport fell below zero. And it stayed there nonstop till about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon when it briefly climbed to 1 degree above zero before falling right back down again. Temperatures are below zero again this morning, though the end appears to be in sight. We've been hearing about the so-called polar vortex for a while, but how did reality compare to the expectations? And where do things go from here? Mike Westendorf is Director of Operations for Innovative Weather at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he joins us this morning via Skype. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing, Mitch?
I'm warming up. How about you?
Thawing out, yes.
Well, let's do kind of a reality check on this cold snap, which is not quite over, but it sounds like it's almost over. How cold did it get in the Milwaukee area in terms of both air temperature and wind chill?
So it looks like the National Weather Service did a nice little summary page on some of these things. And our coldest temperature, at least officially in Milwaukee, was about 13 degrees below zero. Outlying areas were colder than that. I think Waukesha was down in the the upper teens below zero, which sounds funny to say. So about minus 13. And the high temperature on January 6th was minus 4. And these kind of compare. You got to go back a good 10, 15 years to be able to find something of this kind of cold in terms of the similarities between it.
Well, we had been hearing for some time before the cold actually got here that it was on its way. How did the actual extent of this cold snap compare to what you and other meteorologists expected via computer modeling?
I think that it turned out pretty well. We had seen this idea that the longer range models, when something big is happening in the atmosphere, the longer range models tend to have a greater degree of accuracy, or we have more confidence in what's happening. And they had been showing for a good 7 to 9 days out this idea of this kind of cold coming south. Historically, or at least typically, what you'll see is that doesn't quite happen. The cold air gets in here, yes, but it's never quite the whole polar vortex cold that we experienced. This one actually did really break out, and it was consistently in the models and came right on through. I think that for me, the one thing that I was a little surprised at was how much wind we had. You know, you go back to 1996, which is when the last major cold like this really hit us. That's what we were kind of comparing it to from a model standpoint. I think that because we had so much wind, the actual air temperatures didn't get quite as cold as the, you know, 22 to 24, 25 degrees below zero. But we did see those wind chills, just absolutely brutal. And I think that that's really what makes this cold snap stand out, is that not only did we have the cold, we had the wind for, I mean, almost right on through yesterday afternoon, we were still dealing with 25 degrees below zero wind chills.
Well, and that's interesting because it sounds like what you're saying is the wind created these really cold wind chills, but it also kept the air temperature from falling further than it did. Is that right?
Right. So the idea, the reason why we're cold this morning, for example, you know, the worst of the cold is gone, at least atmospherically. The vortex is moving out. We've got the residual cold that's lingering. But what happened overnight was that we had light winds and clear skies, and that allows any heat that we did accumulate from solar radiation during the day to just simply escape out into space. The clouds oftentimes offer us a blanket. They will keep temperatures from falling off. And in the wintertime, especially when there's snow on the ground, you can get what you call a dew point crash, where the air becomes very, very dry. It allows the temperatures to fall off to the dew point. Dew point puts a little bit of basically a little bit of moisture, kind of condenses out on the ice. Dew point drops, the temperatures drop. And so it's not uncommon on clear skies, light wind nights, to see those temperatures just plummet. And this morning was some of that evidence, minus 5 to minus 12 around southeastern Wisconsin. But if you've got the wind in clear skies, that wind allows the atmosphere to remain mixed up. And so the temperatures may not be quite as cold a few thousand feet above us, and that wind mixes that down and keeps us from falling off to the more extreme levels.
The temperature remained below zero for almost two straight days and really never climbed much above zero. So you could almost say it's been there for 2.5 days at this point. Yep. Is it common in this part of the state and in this part of the country for things to stay so cold for so long?
Not common, but not rare would probably be a good way to put it. You know, we're comparing back to 1996. There was another cold stretch that was back in 1999 as well. And so it happens, but the stretch that we're talking about is a little bit more rare. It's not something that you see a lot. In fact, a lot of our staff who is in college students, this was some of the coldest air that they've experienced really in their lifetime, where they actually weren't told to just stay outside. You had to go outside. You couldn't just stay inside, you know.
One of the things that that people were saying over the course of this this cold snap is, well, thank goodness it isn't snowing out there. And indeed, there are some people saying that, you know, it was too cold to snow. That's something we hear a lot. Is it ever possible to be too cold to snow, or is it just not very common that it snows when it's that cold?
That's more to the point. It's just not as common, especially in our part of the state. You know, the folks up in Alaska, they see snow at minus 20, minus 40. So it snows there. You have to have moisture. You have to have lift, and the temperature is below freezing. That's all you need for snow. But what in Wisconsin, anyways, when we get our cold, most of the time, again, it's in the wake of one of those bigger storm systems that pulls a lot of that cold Canadian air south, and then the winds drop, the skies clear out, we've got fresh snow, and those temperatures plummet. And so there's sometimes that illusion that it can't snow because it's that cold. But no, it can snow, and a lot of folks in the country have seen it.
It really just isn't snowing because it's sunny.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What should we expect? The temperatures, I gather, are on the way up. How far are they likely to climb?
Well, this is the interesting part of this. You know, since mid-October, we have been stuck in a pattern that sees basically out of 7 days in the week, one day is above normal, one day is seasonal, and everything else is below normal. And when you're heading into winter, that's a little depressing because it means November comes in October, December comes, you know, in November, and January comes in December. And that's what we've been experiencing for some time now. We've been waiting for something to break this pattern, and the fact that we had the vortex came south, which means basically that the jet stream just take a huge dive southward. Well, now as it lifts and it pulls out, the jet stream rearranges itself for a few days, and really later on this weekend, beginning on Friday through the early part of next week, we're going to have a little bit of a January thaw. And so that's developing. You'll start to notice it more so tomorrow evening as temperatures continue rising into Friday. But there's a problem with this one, Mitch. And that is that we're probably going to see the potential for rain and freezing rain as it gets in here. And it's interesting because the atmosphere warms up so quickly. It just pushes a surge of moisture through. The storm system itself is not particularly organized, but it brings a lot of moisture in. And given the fact that we've been below zero for 2 days, my concern is that even though the atmosphere may warm up enough for it to fall as rain, when it hits the ground, you're going to see a lot of ice. And I think that that's going to be the case as you get into Friday and Friday night. There's some indications with the latest models just coming out this morning that another system rides up the backside of this front and may extend a chance for some light snow on top of that into Saturday morning. So it's one of those be careful what you wish for, because, you know, when things change abruptly, weather is one of the things that happens.
Mike Westendorf, thanks so much. Stay warm.
Yeah, you bet. You too.
Mike Westendorf is Director of Operations for Innovative Weather at UW-Milwaukee. He joined us via Skype this morning, and you can always find the latest forecast at WUWM.com/weather. We'll take a quick break now, and in just a moment, the downside to the January thaw, the damage that the freeze-thaw cycle can cause to your home. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.